Yeah.
Okay. Today is the 30th of October 2013. I'm continuing the interview with Neil Baker. Neil, I'm wondering, when you first came here to Old Parliament House, or the Provisional Parliament House as it was, what was your actual job title, like your classification?
I was a telecommunications technician. On site, I suppose, and that's just on site techs.
And did you remain in that position for the whole time you were here until 1988 in this building?
When Eddie, who was the boss here, left, he retired. I was promoted to technical officer, TO1, technical officer grade one. I virtually took over from him about 1984, that was.
Right, yeah. What was his name?
Eddie James.
James, okay.
He was a real driving force, I'll tell you. He was, and he said what he thought, sort of thing, at the, sometimes at our disadvantage, sort of thing. Remember, Hayden, when he was opposition leader, we were doing some work in his office around here, and Eddie, I'm sure he knew who it was, Hayden himself, he was talking to him, and he said, "Well, you're all bloody crooks. They're all bloody crooks anyway, aren't they?" And Hayden didn't like that much at all. Every time you saw Hayden in the hallway, you steered clear of him, because he knew we were technicians, who we were, sort of thing. And he remembered it. He remembered it even up the new house where I spoke to him one time.
Okay. How many of you were there?
Well, there was four. Initially there was probably about eight. That was just to get the cabling, do the labour work sort of thing. And it dropped down to four. There was virtually four of us here for the duration, I suppose, or three, really, with a fourth. There was three, there was Eddie, myself, and Milton Rickaby. Were virtually permanent here. We also had done the parliamentary triangle, like the Treasury building and admin building, TGO building. Started off as a TGO building, it became the I don't know what they changed it to. That was the one across the road down here, just over Kings Avenue. A big building with six towers.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of round towers.
But anyway, and did you do the cabling over there, was it mainly?
Or? Yeah. Yeah, it was Treasury Building was a. We got a lot of work at Treasury Building. But by the time we finished the wing here, we started off in the old PABX down the Senate side in. Near where you read the newspapers,
yeah,
opposite the left, to leftness in the back in there,
yeah.
And they moved us up somewhere near the back door, near the side back door of the Senate. And then to where the Democrats, what was his name?
Chip
had like two offices about this, two rooms about this size. They moved him out, moved us in. It might have been vice versa. And then they knocked a doorway in the old caretaker's unit. They put a door in next to the Senate door, near the Senate door there. And later on again, they built a permanent office for us near the post office there.
Ah, yeah. Is that still there, that permanent office?
Yeah, it's a cleaner's office now, I think.
Ah, yeah, okay.
But I can remember walking past it one day. Well, it's definitely a cleaner's room. All their gear in there, but it still had the maps. We had the maps of the building on fold-out hinge, sort of like the lower floor, and you open it out and you had the main floor and the upper floor where our cables went. It was pretty faded, the lower ground, because it was, I don't know just why it was so faded, but yeah, there was when we got things like a change of government, or the Prime Minister at the time had a reshuffle sort of thing, we'd get people in. You know, sometimes there'd be 10 of us working, because we had to upgrade. It was a big job moving, like changing government wasn't too bad, but cabinet reshuffles were a nightmare, because they'd all want like the top of the most senior people all wanted to be close to the PM's right. I can remember Hunt, they moved him into the bottom corner, the far corner here, into the minister's office, and he put up such a hullabaloo sort of thing that they moved him up to the, just out here. The pecking order.
Yeah.
It was the closer to the Prime Minister you were, the more senior you were, sort of thing.
You mentioned before you were working in a particular wing. Did I get that right, or were you doing the whole building?
Well, we started off in, when we originally started, was the new Prime Minister's wing, or what I call it, wing, just here. And then it was everything. Not the press gallery, though. They were, we were getting paid on site, like PMG was billing the Parliament for the work we were doing, and the press gallery was private lines and things like that. They had their own, it was just the normal maintenance technicians that come in to fix them. Eventually we took over that. They said, you're here, you may as well do the work. All the press blokes, um, Paul
Lynham.
Yeah, he died of cancer, I think, some years ago. And Harvey,
he died recently. Peter Harvey.
I was here one afternoon, I don't know what year it was, Christmas Eve, and at about 4:30 in the afternoon, the phone rang. I'd sent everyone off, Merry Christmas, or the text or home, and I was just cleaning up, just walking out the door, and the phone rang, and it was Peter Harvey. And I said, oh, I've got a problem up here. And I thought, oh, buddy, 4:30 on Christmas Eve. So I got my little tool bag and went upstairs and walked into the office, and he's sitting at his desk. And I said, what's the problem, Peter? And he said, oh, it's just two slabs of beer here. He said, I can't, I've got enough to carry. He said, you'll have to take them. It's just his way of, and he said, thanks very much for all the help, you know, during the year, you know, he was like that.
Good guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Was there a typical day that you could describe? Like, what time would you start, and
In the later stages, after Eddie left, I used to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got into trouble with Telecom in those days over it. I needed an explanation why my vehicle was on the road at out of hours, sort of thing. It was trying to pin misuse of my vehicle, and I said, I used to, because at 8 o'clock in the morning the phone would start ringing. And it was just non-stop, virtually, for the rest of the day. Or for the morning, anyway. And I said, well, that's the reason I start early. I said, I'm not charging it, putting it down as overtime or anything. It's just that I can get more work done in those 3 hours before 8 a.m. than I could for the whole day, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'd get everything set up, and they said, well, they were considering, they said, get back to work. And I come back the next day. Arrived here at 8 a.m. because I gave up, I had to stop doing that, starting early. And one of the cops out the front, he said, "How you going, Bluey?" I just come up the front door and in. I go into the room around there, and he said, "You're late." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're usually here at 5. And I said, yeah. And I walked in the office and I thought, oh, hang on. I went back to see him and I said, you know I'm here. I was coming here at 5 a.m. in the morning. And he said, yeah. And he said, have you got it on? I said, have you got it on record? He said, no, but the guys on the corner will. There's always a Commonwealth car at the weird drive into the front driveway, parking area there. And he said, they'll have it on, they'll have a record of it on Incident Street. And I went to see them and they said, oh yeah, we've got it, 5 a.m. PMG vehicle parked. And I got a copy of it. They gave me a copy of it and I gave it to my boss over at Woden. And they said, well, they dropped the misuse of vehicle business, and but they said, yeah, you can't carry on starting at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, you're not covered by for accidents or anything like that, you know, so I had to give that away.
How long would you work to? Like, what? When would knock off?
Was there a regular? Quarter to five.
That was pretty regular, was it? Or?
Yeah, you. Yeah, quarter to five. I was signed the book, go home.
And any other regular type routine features to the job during the day? You'd get in at 8, and then what, the phone would be ringing, you were saying?
The phone had started ringing at 8, and the switch girls would be paging you, somebody, there was always something happening sort of thing, faults and things like that. If you had a fault in the PM's phone system when Fraser was in power, you were not allowed to work on it if he was present. Even if it didn't affect his phone, out in the office, if there was something wrong in the office, you couldn't work on the phones while he was in his office. Didn't come up a lot of times, but it was frustrating because there'd be a minor fault that you know you could fix, but you couldn't plug in your test butt to check it in case you come across a conversation or someone on it, you went across a line that was someone that was in use. That may be it was Fraser himself, so you're in deep trouble with that. They had I arrived in the office one day and there was a senior maintenance technician and two guys I never saw before in my life. And they introduced themselves and the two people were from telecom investigations. And there'd been a complaint from a minister that said he heard a conversation over his line when he was using his line. And he said he reckoned it was the line was being tapped. So this senior technician and two investigation people had been out here in the hall where I just showed you. There's three frames, fairly big frames. We went around to have a look and I said, no. He said, nobody's unlocked it, or they had locks on them, padlocks on them. And the senior maintenance technician in his report wrote that only somebody in he believed there was an interception of a call to that particular minister. And in his opinion, it could only have happened by somebody who knew what he was doing, which when I wrote my letter to the boss of Canberra, I said this was a covert operation that they performed in the building and without the knowledge of the Parliament House, like the Sergeant at Arms and the Usher of the Black Rod, they sort of were over everything as far as security was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say if I'd done my own investigation, I'd check the fault records in the operator's, the telephonist room, and there was several faults of cross lines. And the maintenance tech that was down the PABX, I was talking to the maintenance tech, and he said, well, I've just fixed the fault. And he said, which would, in the PABX, which would cause, one of the main causes would be crosstalk. And I wrote in my letter that if they had done a reasonable job of checking out the fault reports and things like that, they'd come to the same conclusion that it was the PABX was, the fault was caused in the PABX, the crosstalk. And Harry's name was, the boss of Canberra, he called me in his office and he said, who did I think I was, you know? I said, well, the senior technician that investigated it initially virtually said that it was either me or Milton or Red or Peter, the four techs that were on site. And I said, and none of us, we're all past the secret by ASIO, and we know the implications of doing something like that, you know, listening in on conversations. That was the worst thing in here, if you were testing in line and you'd sort of plugged into on the frame and you heard a conversation and you immediately disconnect, you know. And
did you need a security clearance
here? Yeah, every 2 years we had to go through who your mother's, father's, brother-in-law's sister was and all the, because we used to say, you got all this 2 years ago, you know, nothing's changed. It's only 2 years further on. Where your father was born, where your mother was born, what buildings you access. We used to do the lodge, jobs at work at the lodge, and the Governor General's very occasionally, but a fair bit of work at the lodge. I got a call one day from the electrician, and he said, you've got half an hour to spare, come over to the lodge, I want to show you something. We went over and walked in the ground floor in the brown room. They'd lifted the entire floor, they must have been redoing the floor in there, because underneath there's just dirt and and piers to hold the building up, I suppose. And he said, have a look at this. And it's on one of the main beams under there. It's got written in pencil, Bluey Baker was here. And I had a date, I think it was 76 or 78. And he said, and I said, oh yeah, I'd probably pull a cable in underneath, and I'm underneath waiting for the cable to come through the hole and with a torch. And while I'm waiting, I just put Bluey Baker was here. He said, okay, that's all I wanted to show you. And I said, well, hang on a second. And I jumped in the, got down, and I said, Bluey Baker was here, 1986, I think that was.
You updated.
I said, whenever I, it's all over this building in hard to get to spots.
Okay, all right.
I just, while you were waiting for somebody, another tech, call them down the tunnel or something to get you some, we're pulling cables in. Just like, oh, Bluey Baker was here.
Part of the heritage now of the building. Bluey. With the ASIO, did an ASIO person interview you, or how did that work?
No, we had just at the, I don't know initially when I got rated or whatever. The first time we were actually interviewed by, I suppose, ASIO people, but every 2 years after that, it was just fill the forms out. And they'd say to you, like, my father was Clarence Peter Baker. If I spelled it differently or anything like that, they'd have the record. Why did you tell us that this was, you know, you were expected to remember, oh, silly things, I suppose. If you didn't have it on the form 2 years later, they'd want to know why.
Yeah. Did they ask about politics at all?
No. No, it was, I don't think they were interested in that.
Do you know, were there any cases of people knocked back because of they failed to get a clearance?
No, not really. I think it went from, there's different levels of, like, we were secret, but there was other grades, I suppose, of that it might be, access to what you could have access to.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What areas you could have access to.
Did you have, and the other technicians, did you have pretty much free movement in the building? Like,
yeah.
Did you go anywhere pretty
yeah.
much? Did you go
yeah,
into
they
the...
All, they all knew us. When the ID passes come in, I can remember Eddie said to me one day, he's left his pass at home. And he said, give Selendy a pass. And I said, what? He said, I've just got to go down to such and such. And off he went. And it was just, and then I got a call. I had to go. So I went without a pass, and I'm walking around the building, and it was just, it would have been the same with Eddie. It's just, how you going, Eddie? How you going, Bluey? passed it. I could have worn a bit of cardboard on me pocket, and they'd still, because they recognise you. That's Eddie in his time was every time a fault come in, we'd have to go and fix it. But they'd page Eddie, and it was paging Mr. James, paging Mr. Eddie James. And it got a mention, Senator Reid said, it got up in the Senate one day and said, she wasn't complaining about the PA system, but she said, "And who is this Eddie James?" we all went around to meet her, so she knew who Eddie James was from then on, and knew the techs were that were fixing the faults, fixing the phones.
Did you have access to the facilities here? I mean, like the tennis courts and the gardens.
We used to play bowls, and I should offer that to Alex. I've got two trophies. One for it was a Commonwealth Parliament Staff Association, CPSA, 19-something. Snedden was, not Snedden. I had to go, and I went on holidays to New Zealand. I'd won the CPSA snooker comp. There's a tables down along here.
On the south east wing?
Yeah.
Okay. On this floor, or we're on the second floor? I know we're the first floor, actually. There's the ground floor.
We're the main, this is the main floor. No, it must have been the upper floor. I'd have to go down there to have a look.
Oh, yeah.
There was two tables, I think. And the CPSA, myself and Peter Hall, another tech, won the darts comp. But tennis, it was on the Senate side though, the tennis courts. I don't think the tennis courts were here. Well, it might have been, but there's definitely, we played tennis on over the Senate side. Bowls just out here.
And what about things like morning teas and afternoon tea and lunchtime? Where would you...
That was here, down in the cafe. Or in... after you wrapped everything up, got the techs doing their jobs, or end up in the non-members bar about 4 o'clock or something like that, have a few beers.
What was that like, the non-members bar?
Oh, it was a good place. You got a lot of news down there. People like Mungo McCallum used to drink down there all the time. 4X he drank. They must have a photo. They probably got a copy of the photo here. When he left, I went to see the kitchen people, and we iced... Oh, they did. They made a cake for him. a slab of 4X covered with icing and a farewell message on it. When I got the badges made, he wasn't here when he'd left. He was up Central Coast somewhere. I posted him badge number 40. And sort of said, I hope you get the gist of why it's 40. It's in like 40 in Roman numerals, so it's XXXX.
Very clever, yeah.
And he said, yes, he did. And he wrote a letter back one time, probably when I sent the new one up. Oh, it might only have been the new one.
Maybe tell us what the badges were. You've told me off the off tape, but...
Oh, it started... Actually, it was an accident in the end, or necessity. When the things were winding up in 88, I thought they should have, because occasionally they'd bring out special port bottles of